suicida. Let us pray together. Gracious and loving God, we are gathered together once again as your people to turn our eyes upon your Son. We look to him because he is our Savior. He is the Messiah. He is the one who gave his life for us, that we might have life and that we might have it both abundantly and eternally. We turn our eyes upon him because he is also our example. We listen to his teaching. We listen to his stories. We learn and we grow. We seek to be more and more like him in every way. We call ourselves disciples of Christ because we follow in his footsteps. We seek to be a reflection of his light and his image in our lives and all that we do and all of our relationships. Lord, we know that we sometimes fail in that goal, that we never quite meet that mark, and we are thankful for grace, that we are forgiven those failures, but we also pray for strength and for wisdom, that we might continue to grow, that we might be ever more in his image, living in his image. Lord, we come today that we might also turn our hearts to you because we know that you're a God of healing and a God of love and comfort and peace, and there are so many that need that right now. So many in hospitals, in nursing homes, and shut in at home that need your special physical healing, spiritual and emotional healing. We pray for those who are struggling in relationships as well and financially. We just pray that you would meet each person at the point of their need and help them to know that you are sufficient, that your grace and your love are sufficient. Help us to lean on that in our weakness. Help us to lean on your strength. Lord, we lift up those, and we pray that you would help us also to determine where we might plug in, how we might minister more to one another, and especially to those who are in need. How we might be channels of that love and grace to others in the world. Lord, we thank you for your constant and abiding presence with us and for the promise that you will hear and answer all our prayers. And so we now join our voices together in praying the prayer that Jesus first taught his disciples when he said, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Thank you.
So we began exploring last week the parables of Jesus and how they communicate to us so vividly and profoundly the message of the gospel. I was talking with a friend the other day about the church and about preaching, and he said, I don't think there's really a sermon that's worth listening to that doesn't have at least one story in it, he said. And I had to think about it, but I think Jesus might agree. He was a storyteller. Jesus often told these stories and used these parables to captivate us, the listeners, and kind of carry us along closer and closer to what he was trying to teach us. And at the heart of these parables Jesus told, it seems that in each of them, Jesus hides this great message of the gospel within these stories, hides them in there for us to dig into and discover again and again the deepest truth of the gospel message. And so we're reading this week from Matthew chapter 13. And the whole chapter, it's actually full of parables, but we're reading today just a few of the short parables that Jesus told here from the Gospel of Matthew chapter 13. He put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all the seeds, but when it has grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of flour until all of it was leavened. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field which someone found and hid. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and he bought it. This scripture from Matthew, Jesus rapidly tells these little parables about the kingdom of heaven, one after another. The kingdom of heaven's like a mustard seed. It's like the yeast the woman took and mixed in with the flour, like a treasure hidden in the field, like the pearl of great price. And after all of these short parables, in the end, Jesus asks those disciples, he asks those listening, have you understood all of this, he says, to which in the story they respond simply, yes, they say, yes, it's yes, really, really. These little parables Jesus tells are jam-packed, full of meaning, like a series of doors and locks that open up to us and reveal new meaning for us all the time. I'm not sure what I would say if Jesus asked me. I'd want to say yes. Want to just say yes. Though honestly, it would probably be more like out of an aspiration to understand, really, like out of my desire to get it, to really understand. I'd want to say yes. Maybe that's worth something. Just jump in to the striving, the really trying to get it. Maybe the disciples understand better than I think. In 1987, Howard Schultz walked down a street in Chicago, and he stated that in 5 years, everyone on that street would have a Starbucks cup in their hand. And at that time, hardly anybody knew, had ever heard of Starbucks. But Schultz had this in his mind. He had this clear goal in his mind, and that keeping that in his mind, it made Starbucks the huge worldwide thing that it is today. a pastor I was reading from was sharing about this idea, talking about goals, and he said something to the effect of, life is short, and in a blink of an eye, I'll be 80 years old, and I'll look back on my life either happy that I've achieved all the things that I wanted to achieve, or look back and regret now that I'm too old to do the things that I wanted to do but never got around to doing. And he went on to say how important it is to have these goals, something in focus that drives us. Jesus gives us these two short parables in the middle of all the rest. That is the key here, I think. Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field which someone found and hid. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and he buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and he bought it. In both stories, both the people find this great treasure, the pearl of great price, the treasure buried in the field. And in both, they sell everything that they have, give everything else up, give themselves fully for the sake of that one thing. They are determined, single-minded, totally focused. Jesus is talking here about the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is like, he says. And he tells these stories about the treasure, about the pearl. But the kingdom here it's not the treasure or the pearl of great price. Jesus says that the kingdom of heaven is like, and then he tells us these stories about these guys. They sell everything, give everything else up, give themselves fully for the sake of that one thing, for that treasure they've found. The kingdom is not the pearl or the treasure. It's more like if you want to know the kingdom, if you want to really understand, to really be a part of the kingdom of heaven, then you've got to do what they did. You got to do what they did, he's saying. Give everything else up. Sell everything. No half measures. Commit wholeheartedly, completely. The first disciples Jesus called to follow him, they immediately left their nets, their boats, left their families behind in order to follow Jesus. They drop everything. They jump in. They get it. And Jesus is always calling us, his disciples, to be this fearless, this bravely sacrificial in our response to follow. There's a quote by Thomas Huxley that says, it doesn't take much of a man to be a Christian, but it takes all that there is of him. If we want to know the real treasure that Jesus is giving us here, this is what it takes, our whole selves for that one thing. There was an essay in the Christian Century where the pastor Sam Wells posed the question to the readers. And he said, what's the one thing that really matters? What's the one thing that really matters? And he followed it up with, and so why aren't you filling all of your time with that? He said. And the reality is that there's often this big gap between what we might say is the most important thing and then how we actually spend our life and our time, our energy. And it leads us to ask ourselves, what treasure am I really seeking with my time, my energy? What am I really investing myself in? And is it worth my life? Years ago, one of the most successful TV shows at the time recorded its final episode. And there was the star of the show, Ray Romano, had ridden its popularity from a struggling stand-up comedian to wealth and fame. And when he started, he was living in his parents' basement, but by the end of the series, he had become the highest paid actor per episode in television history at that point. And after filming the last show, he stood there before the studio audience and reviewed how his life had changed and who he had become. When he moved to New York 9 years earlier, he said that his big brother, Richard, had tucked this little note into his luggage. And Ray read the note in tears to the audience, and it was this scripture that says, "What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul?" What are we seeking? What are we seeking? It matters what treasure we're really seeking. There's a story about the man Alfred Nobel, how one morning in 1888, Nobel, who was the inventor of dynamite, was reading the newspaper that morning, and he happened upon his own obituary in the paper. Read his own obituary, which I imagine would be a bit unnerving to read, I would think. And Nobel was famous at the time and had gained a large fortune from making and selling these weapons of destruction. This had been his the main focus of his life. And the obituary he read was an error, of course. It was his brother who had died. A reporter had made a careless mistake. And anyone might have been disturbed to read their own obituary. But for Alfred Nobel, this was a shock that was overwhelming for him. And for the first time, he saw himself as the world saw him, as the dynamite king who made a fortune from explosives. As far as the general public was concerned, this was who he was, what his life was all about. This was how he would be remembered. And as he read his own obituary with horror, Nobel then, that second, he resolved to change directions, to change. And he decided how then best to use his wealth. And his last will and testament was an expression of his life's purpose, his purposes, and the result, as we know now, was the Nobel Prize, which was given to all those who have done the most for the cause of human freedom and for peace. I read one scholar say that these parables we read, these ones that we read about them giving themselves fully, they're not parables about treasures. These are parables really about the transformation of people, their total reevaluation of everything in their lives as they set off in search of something new and infinitely more valuable. They sell everything. They totally turn and commit wholeheartedly. Why? Why? What is it that is worth that much, our whole selves? It's the treasure. It's the treasure they find that's really the gift that changes everything for them. It's the thing that's worth our lives, worth giving our whole selves for. Jesus is the pearl of great price, it said. You've heard that said. Jesus is the pearl of great price, worth selling all we have for. And he is. It's true. But I've heard it put another way too. That there once was a man who found a treasure, and it was buried out under this old rugged tree, and he sold all that he had. A man who gave all he had for this treasure, surrendered everything, paid an enormous price so he could own it forever. And somehow for Jesus, it's we who are the treasure. Unbelievably, undeservedly, it's we who are somehow worth his whole life. The gift of his grace, his relentless love in the face of our wandering misdirection, our failures and our understanding, this is the treasure worth living for, worth everything. And it's those followers of Jesus who have found this treasure in the gift of Jesus who are then compelled to give themselves completely to the work of his love, who work with their time and their energy for the sake of this treasure, for this gospel. Eugene Peterson described the Christian life in one of his books as a long obedience in the same direction. He said, a long obedience in the same direction. And giving all that we have, more often than not, it looks like this. Not all at once, but rather it's in each moment, each day, each decision. It's a life of long obedience. There was a funeral on Friday in Texas for one of the youth sponsors that Stephanie and I worked with at our old church, and his name was Keith. And Keith worked with the youth group at the church for years and years, over 20 years. He worked with the youth. He went on dozens and dozens of their mission trips. Hundreds of youth he affected through the years. We didn't get to go to the funeral, of course, but I've been seeing these last few days all of these loving memories shared by former kids in the youth group who have now grown up out of college, have their own families, their own kids. All of these memories shared one after another, these testaments to his character and his love, stories they're telling of how he was there for them, how he cried with them, about how he helped them catch their first fish, how he taught them how to shingle a roof, pictures of him at their weddings. Keith was the kind of man who lived like he knew the treasure of the gospel, and he had to share it. So he gave what he had, little by little, day after day, a long life lived for the sake of the gospel. The kingdom of heaven for so many was a lot like Keith. It was a lot like you. The kingdom of heaven, it's like the ones who sell everything they have, give everything they have, their whole selves, because of the great gift of the gospel. It's like we have a little seed, a little mustard seed planted in our hearts, ready to sprout, like a little bit of yeast that's rising up within us, and we have to give it away, to share the treasure that we've found. Jesus, who gave his everything, gave his all for you, his treasure. It's this Jesus who invites us to give our all just the same, to share in this great treasure that the kingdom has in store for us. Amen.